Hello, my name is Marlene, and I'd like to welcome you to Vegan Nation. Vegan Nation is an informational program featuring vegan music, news, events, and interviews about the vegan evolution revolution happening worldwide, manifesting a paradigm of freedom, peace, justice, health, wellness, and sustainability. The views in this program do not necessarily reflect the views and opinions of the station nor its management. Vegan Nation has been on air since 2015. I'd like to thank all our listeners for tuning in. I'm very honored and thrilled that we are joined by Tom Rothwell. Let's start by hearing his song, The Giant, by Sinéad.
Fee-fi-fo-fum.
This way giant comes,
and he don't look down, no.
No, he don't look down.
Fee-fi-fo-fum.
This way giant comes, and he don't look down.
No,
he don't look down.
He turns mountains into minerals.
He turns mountains into minerals.
And forests into firewood.
This way giant.
He turns mountains into minerals.
And forests into firewood.
His shadow falls and flowers wilt.
He passes gas
and icebergs melt.
Blows his nose in oceans, and the mermaids come up floating.
Yes, these fields were full of elves and gnomes and fairies, but every step he takes, another centaur.
Peninsula, Michigan. We'll be hearing about the Protect the Porkies campaign and much more.
But there is an old story. I don't know if it's true. It says this monster's made right out of folks like me and you.
Some are in the field.
Step right, sometimes it flaps right. But for now it's
this way giant comes,
and he don't look down, no.
Fee-fi-fo-fum,
this way giant comes,
and he don't look down.
Wide variety of skills and passions and experience, and he's joining us via Skype from Upper Peninsula, Michigan. Welcome, Tom, and thank you very much for joining us on Vegan Nation.
Thank you, Marlene. It's great to be be talking to you today.
But for now it's fee-fi-fo-fum. Fee-fi-fo-fum. Fee-fi-fo-fum.
Yes, I'm thrilled. Thank you so much. And also to your partner, Soul, too, so we'll be hearing about the work that the both of you do. But Tom, let's start out with hearing a little bit about yourself.
All right. Well, as you said, my name is Tom Grotewall, and I live in Michigan's Upper Peninsula, a very wild part of the country. And I'm 35 now. I became vegan when I was 15, so 20 years ago. But my journey to become vegan started before that. Actually, when I was 8 years old, I had the privilege of going on a family trip to the rainforest of Costa Rica. And when I came back from Costa Rica, I suddenly transformed into one of those kids who wants to save the rainforest. And that was all I could think about, was how to protect habitat, how to protect ecosystems. And, you know, actually, my journey towards veganism probably started before that. Just any time I looked into the eyes of my dogs or my cats and just felt compassion for them. But for me, there was really no difference between feeling compassion for a jaguar or a puma in the rainforest and feeling compassion for my own pets. And so all through my life, I've been very compassionate for habitat and ecosystems and also for animals, because I don't think we can draw a line between those two. So in recent years, I've been working as an animal activist, just doing outreach in the streets, stopping people in the streets, showing them videos and having conversations with people. And then when Sol and I moved up to the Upper Peninsula a few years ago, and we found a habitat very near to our home. We live right in the middle of a forest right on the south shore of Lake Superior. There are wild wolves that roam through here. There's bald eagles. There's hawks and owls and bobcats and beavers and porcupines and all kinds of creatures up here. And we're fortunate to be in a very beautiful and wild area. But shortly after moving here, we learned of a massive threat to the habitat of this region when a so-called copper mine was proposed just a couple miles down the road from us in the middle of a massive forest. And it would be the closest of these kinds of operations to Lake Superior in history, which is very concerning because, you know, even though they call this a copper mine, in fact, copper in these kinds of operations is only 1.5% of what they're extracting, and the remaining 98.5% is waste. They've got to store all that waste in a massive waste facility, the closest in history to Lake Superior. For those who don't know, Lake Superior is the largest freshwater lake on Earth by surface area. It's 10% of the Earth's surface freshwater, and water is everything. It doesn't matter if you're a plant or a mushroom or an animal like we are. Water is critical to our existence. It's 99% of the molecules in our body. It's what forms our DNA. So any threat to water is a threat to all kinds of life. And unfortunately, every single copper sulfide mine that's been documented has contaminated water. And this one is especially concerning because it's the closest in history to the largest and cleanest and wildest of all the Great Lakes. So I had already had experience working as an animal activist, just talking to folks on the streets. And I decided what I could do was start a website. So I started a website, protecttheporkies.com. The Porkies are the sort of the common name for the Porcupine Mountains, which are some of the oldest mountains in the world. And Porcupine Mountain State Park, which is my next door neighbor, it was actually ranked in 2022 by Yelp and TripAdvisor as the most beautiful state park in the country. It contains the largest coniferous deciduous old growth forest remaining in the Midwest. I didn't even realize there was old growth forest left in the Midwest until I moved up here. And unfortunately, this mining operation would also be right next door to this old growth forest, so close that they actually plan to mine underneath state park property. So we see this mine as a massive threat, of course, to the ecosystem, but also to outdoor recreation and humans who want a break from hectic city living to come out and get a moment of peace and quiet, to have a moment of communion next to the river, to listen to the waterfall, to sit on the lake shore. So this is just not a good deal for anybody. Lake Superior, as the largest source of surface freshwater on the planet, is a collective resource. I don't even like the term resource because resource makes it seem like it belongs to somebody. But Lake Superior doesn't belong to anybody. It deserves its own rights to be uncontaminated and unnecessarily develop. So, and the Porcupine Mountains, as the largest old-growth forest in this area, that is also of enormous collective value. And people come from all over the country and all over the world to visit that state park. So any threat to Lake Superior and the Porcupine Mountains concerns everybody who is compassionate for life. So that's kind of a long-winded introduction there. But, yeah, I'm happy to talk about this as much as you like.
Thank you, Tom. Oh, that was great to hear. Thank you. Yes, when I think of the vegan evolution revolution, I really believe it's a new paradigm. And so, like, for example, when I think of traditional practices that the world has been involved in, that it's really been done without a vegan consciousness. When I think of, for example, fireworks. Fireworks is a form of, from a vegan perspective, is a form of injustice to animals as well. And I witnessed it firsthand. A big bear came running out of the swamp area so fast, and that bear was surprised to see me, and I was surprised to see the bear, but the bear was running away from fireworks. A neighbor had fireworks that were going that were really town size fireworks, but it was on a private property. So these were loud. And when I saw that bear so scared, and I thought, that's how, you know, things happen that are tragedies, not just to the animals, but to humans as well. And so can you talk about that, even a perspective of what goes on, even with mining, with lights and sounds, et cetera?
Yeah, definitely. And just to emphasize that link between veganism and environmentalism, which, as I said, I don't really personally see a difference, because both of them are about breaking through this paradigm in which we commodify life and we completely disregard life except for its use as an object to make money. So we see that's what's happening in the animal slavery industry, in animal farming, where these living creatures with emotions and beating hearts are just being treated like objects. And then the same thing is happening to ecosystems as a whole. So with mining, and specifically with this proposed mine, and I emphasize again and again that it's proposed, which means that it's not too late for people to speak up, there's so much to be considered. First of all, the immediate footprint of an operation like this is only the beginning. So there's the amount of land that they have to clear cut. They cut down all of this forest. And, you know, we say forest like it's just one word, but every single tree is home to almost an infinity of creatures, from the birds that are nesting to the insects and the microorganisms and the fungus and the vines and the mosses. So when you talk about clear cutting a forest, that's, you know, really quite an atrocious activity. They also have to destroy an enormous amount of wetlands. What this operation has been doing recently, last summer, they destroyed all of these wetlands because they have to make room for this waste facility. So think about that, destroying wetlands where beavers and frogs and turtles and newts and all sorts of creatures live for the sake of a massive industrial waste facility. It's hard to think of something more hideous than that. But then it becomes even more hypocritical, because Michigan has what they call a zero wetland loss policy, which sounds really nice. But what that means is that if a company destroys wetlands, they have to then create new wetlands somewhere else. They call it wetland mitigation. So what the company is doing this summer in their wetland mitigation is they're clear-cutting more forest. They're basically turning forest into a desert so that they can then capture water there and call it a new wetland. And they're going to feel like they're good environmental stewards for doing that. So there's just so much hypocrisy on all fronts, which is why we really need to go deep into the language that we use. We see this in the vegan movement all the time. We have to reclaim language. You know, the industry tries to call something humanely raised beef or cage-free eggs. And we all know this is bogus. All of your listeners know this is bogus. And that's happening in the larger narrative about so-called development and so-called progress as well, right? Industry calls development clear-cutting a forest and putting up a massive waste facility and then paving over an ecosystem so that nothing can live there. And they call that progress, where they call that construction, right? Whereas instead of construction, anyone with two eyes to see can very clearly identify that as destruction. So really what we need to do is properly identify what's going on. We need to get rid of all of this vocabulary that's been imposed on top of the conversation to stop people from understanding clearly. And then we need to speak up. We need to fight. I think, you know, as a vegan, everyone who's listening who is a vegan, remember there was probably a moment when you weren't a vegan. Some of us were fortunate enough to have been born in vegan families, but for most of us, there was a moment where you woke up. And the reason you woke up is probably because somebody helped you wake up. So I think as a vegan, I have a karmic debt. Because somebody did me the favor of waking me up, now I have to wake others up. And we need to apply that philosophy to everything. So becoming vegan is just the first step, but then you actually need to go further. And you need to help others wake up who are still sleepwalking.
Beautiful, Tom. Thank you. We're listening to Tom Grotois, a vegan, activist, musician, and environmentalist. He is the founder of ProtectThePorkies.com, a decentralized people's movement. You tune into Vegan Nation. I'm your host, Molly Narrow, Worcester, Massachusetts. We'll be taking a short break, and then we'll continue our conversation with Tom Grotois.
Well, I'm prepared to prepare, so don't dare me to dare. I just sit and I stare and I wonder about things I have read. I got a world in my head, life's lightning, and I'm thunder.
This is his song, School Fool, by Sinéad.
I know how to destroy, but not create. I can't make love, but maybe I can mate. Once I tried to write a book, but I went into a rage before the very first word. I grew up all up the page. School made me a fool.
Welcome back from the break. Thank you very much for joining us on Vegan Nation. I'm your host, Marlena, Massachusetts. Let's continue our conversations with Tom Grotois in the Porcupine Mountains, Upper Peninsula, Michigan.
Just wanna love you with my heart and not my head. And I just wanna listen.
I just wanna listen.
I just wanna listen to music like I did back in, like I did back in my childhood.
I have to say that the photographs that your partner Sol took of the Porkies is beautiful in Lake Superior.
Yeah, extremely beautiful area. And, you know, we're visual creatures, right? So we see the beauty, and that's really what taps into our hearts and say, oh, this is a great area to take a photo. But then to actually try to grasp the complexity of all the life that's here and all the relationships. And just going back, you know, you asked about light pollution and sound pollution. So, you know, these mines are 24-hour operations, which means lighting. There's no artificial lighting in this area. And so as soon as you put up artificial lights, That's not good for humans who like to stargaze. But lighting is also probably, and I didn't realize this, but lighting is probably one of the single greatest impacts that humans have had on natural ecosystems, especially if you're a nocturnal creature. But, you know, just think about how much the night sky has changed over the past couple centuries. And the same as you were talking about the sound from fireworks. And, you know, not just the sound, but the vibration that you feel from fireworks. With mining, we're talking about subterranean blasting. We're talking about rock grinding. We're talking about nonstop industrial traffic, all of this very, very noisy activity, which not only does it interrupt a person's peace and quiet when they're walking through the park, but you know, there's been studies showing that woodland songbirds, their population will collapse, most likely because they just migrate elsewhere, once the sound reaches a certain volume. So you can see that once it goes over something like 40 decibels, that's when these woodland songbirds just clear out and they say, I'm going elsewhere. So these are things, you know, it's not as concrete as water pollution, but sound pollution and light pollution, these are things that need to be taken very seriously. They're every bit as damaging as any other form of contamination.
Thank you, Tom. And I appreciate that we're having this conversation about holistic veganism, authentic veganism, deep veganism, which is the big picture. Especially in recent years, there's been a infiltration and a co-option of the vegan movement to turn it into simply a diet, that it's just a plant-based lifestyle. So it's taking away the impact in the seriousness and the power of liberation and freedom and sovereignty. And so thank you for this conversation. Deep veganism, respect for sovereignty and bodily autonomy and freedom.
Yeah. You know, it's just about identifying what are your philosophical principles and then trying to be consistent on those principles. I think most of us became vegans because we recognize that you shouldn't do harm to something. And so the easy conclusion is, well, let's just stop eating animals because we can live long and happy lives without animal products. So we set that as our philosophy of freedom and compassion. But then when other issues come along, we fail to follow through on that philosophy. So and that can be said, you know, for many different people. Like, I've got a lot of friends who are environmentalists, and they care very deeply about otters and beavers and bald eagles. And then at the end of the day, they go home and they have a hamburger. And, you know, to me, that is just madness. And I don't understand how a person cannot make the connection. But then vegans, unfortunately, we are not perfect either. So we don't always stay consistent on our philosophy. We saw that in recent years. There was a big crackdown all around the world trying to force people to use their bodies in certain ways that they didn't want to use their bodies. And, you know, I'm not going to go deep into the weeds on that one. But for me as a vegan, I thought, well, if I support the freedom of animals, certainly I support the freedom of humans as well. And as a vegan also, I think we need to support the freedom of ecosystems. Because ecosystems have animals, but you also can't separate the animals from the plants and the water and all of the elements and all of the microorganisms. And so these days there's a pretty complex narrative going on about the need for copper and the need for zinc and nickel because of green energy, what they're calling green energy, which is another form of language manipulation. Think about the fact that these are called renewable energies, but even though the sunlight is renewable, solar panels are not renewable. Wind is renewable, but wind turbines are not renewable. In fact, these are massive, massive industrial projects, and they all require greatly expanding mining. And we've just talked about all of the consequences that mining has on ecosystems. So I would really challenge anyone who is a vegan or anyone who is just a human who's tuning in right now to think about what it really means to be green also. Can you endorse a new technology? Is it really green to endorse technologies? Is it green to endorse any kind of massive development project, which is actually a destruction project? So we really need to break through all of this language that's been imposed upon us and take a stand. What is it that we really stand for? We stand with life and we stand with freedom, and we shouldn't let anybody's narrative or agenda get in the way of that.
Yes, Tom, agreed. Thank you. Well, now I'd love to hear about the music, Maple Moon, from you and your beautiful partner, Soul, and your beautiful music.
Soul and I spend a lot of time making music and making art. Our band name is always changing, so it's kind of hard to keep track of. But Soul's current project is called Maple Moon, and Soul is from Argentina, so some of those songs are in Spanish, and some of them are in English. And so a lot of Soul's lyrics and my lyrics are about trying to wake people up to compassion. So Soul's band is called Maple Moon. We have another group called Roadkill Rising, which we're always evolving, always making new projects. So people who want to listen to that music, you can find it on YouTube. You can find Maple Moon on Spotify. But definitely get in touch with me at protecttheporkies@gmail.com if you want to stay up to date on our later musical evolution. But yeah, we're just trying to make music that is in tune with who we are, music that we tend to make acoustic music with instruments from around the world, flutes and hand drums and violin. Even though I still love good electric music from time to time, when I'm just by myself out in the forest, I much prefer to strum the guitar and play some flute and play some fiddle.
Wonderful. Wonderful. Thank you. And Tom, thank you very much for joining us on Vegan Nation, and much thanks also to your partner, Soul. And I'm thrilled that you've been vegan since you've been 15 years old. Wow, that's great.
Thank you so much, Marlene, for all the work that you're doing and putting information out there and having conversations and just opening up the conversation. That's the single most important step that everyone can be doing. Conversation is a great form of activism, so I would encourage everybody just to not be afraid to have difficult conversations with people you know and people you don't know.
Thank you, Tom. Thanks to all our listeners for tuning in to Vegan Nation. I'm your host, Marlene in Massachusetts. You can hear this program again at vegansradio.com. The views in this program do not necessarily reflect the views and opinions of the station nor its management. Vegan Nation has been on air since 2015. Please join us again next week at the same time. And much thanks to all the activists worldwide. This is Marlene in Massachusetts wishing you a beautiful, peaceful day. Let's go out with more music by Tom and Soul.
I know of a perfect place on the backside of the map where the heroes lay down.
I would just stress to people that wins do happen, and we never know what's going to happen unless we try. So that's really the key there, is not to give into the narrative of fear and despair, but actually to try and to speak up and to connect with others who are also speaking up. And then despair becomes happiness, because you're in community with others and you're doing something you really believe in. So we've all got to be activists.
Right on. Another world.
What we've been talking about this whole time is that there's not really a difference between veganism and environmentalism, because these creatures are entitled to freedom and health.
Thanks again for tuning in to Vegan Nation.